days or maybe those weeks or those months or years where you're just burnt out and you're wondering, is there a better way? There must be a better way, a smarter way to go about this. That's what we're going to talk about today. Hey, everybody, I'm Jamie Tates, host of the Superpower Success Podcast, and we're glad you're here. I've got a fantastic guest for you today. Sarah Becker is the CEO and founder of Clear Simple Business. Doesn't that sound great? Clear, simple business. Wouldn't we all love to operate in that mode? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And the title of the podcast is There a Better Way? And when Sarah and I started discussing the podcast and the topic that we were going to talk about, we had a lot of different pieces here, a lot of good stuff we're going to dig into. But it was really about how do we just be more fulfilled? How do we deal with the limiting beliefs that we all have? How do we stop dying for a paycheck and change the way we look at business and look at our lives in a little different way? And so that's what we're going to have a dialogue about today. So I'm guessing most of you listening that it's going to resonate with you because it certainly resonated with me. And some of the things that Sarah's going to share and just her perspectives is going to be something I need to hear. And I know it'll help all of you as well. So thank you for being here, Sarah. I appreciate you taking the time to do this, I know, in your busy schedule. And so if you would just give everybody, just to start, an overview of you, kind of where, how you've gotten, you know, your story. We're all about stories here.
Yes, and thank you for having me. So my story is on the business side. So I started out in corporate and was in the corporate world for about 10 years. But the moment I entered the corporate world, I just felt this isn't for me. Felt like I should own my own business, but didn't really know what in. So I stuck it out in the corporate world. Like, it was safe, it was easy, it was comfortable, but always knowing it just, it wasn't quite for me. But I'm very glad that I stayed in the corporate world because I learned so many valuable skills, and that's actually where I honed my gift. Although I didn't realize that I was doing that because it actually wasn't until the end of my career that I looked back and found, what am I good at? What is this gift that I have? And that was when I launched my business, Clear Simple Business.
That's fantastic. And I'm Sarah and I are doing this podcast in person, which doesn't always, full transparency, doesn't always happen. And I love it because I'm looking at her and smiling from ear to ear because when she talks about it being safe, easy, and comfortable, and then not realizing that you're honing that gift until after you leave. And you're like, that's why I needed to do that, right? That's all part of our journey, is I needed to have that experience. Even the days when it was really painful. And our listeners who are still in corporate, is all of those painful things are leading us somewhere. And for some of us, it's in corporate our whole careers, and that's totally fair. For some of us, it's something else, right? That corporate helps us realize that there's something else missing in that gift. So, of course, you're on the Superpower Success Podcast, so we can't let you not share what one of your superpowers is.
So one of my superpowers is, I mean, in a nutshell, it's process improvement. But it gets a little deeper where it's seeing how things are being done, looking at it and being able to see the future state easier way of doing it. So that's what I realized throughout my career, the majority of it being at Target Corporation, is that every time I was given a task, I would look at it and say, has got to be a better way of doing this. And I would research and Google and test out a better way of doing that, so that the next month or week, whenever I did the task again, it would be improved. And I thought this was a very simple skill that everyone in the corporate world, or just everyone in general, had this skill. And like I said, it wasn't until the end of my career when Target was going through a lot of transformation, so I started to think of Plan B and maybe thinking that the possibility of getting laid off was kind of a message from the universe. Okay, now is the time to jump ship and jump into your own thing. And when I look back, I realize this is what I did. I was in so many different roles, and this is the thing that followed me through and allowed me to be successful in each role.
And that's so true. I think a lot of us equate, and I just had this conversation on a previous podcast, a lot of us equate what we, our title or what we did in corporate to like what our, that's our skill. And what we start to see is both as you move up in corporate and as you change into entrepreneurship and business ownership, if that's where you're going, is you start to see that even though you were a financial analyst or a financial, your title, you developed a whole lot of other skills that had nothing to do with finance necessarily, right? Or marketing.
Right.
And I think it comes with time. Is it comes with confidence in doing it and realizing? I don't think you could do that when you were 25, is know what all of that is. You could be aware of it, but you couldn't really use it in that way. So, and that idea of, it's exactly what we talk about on this podcast, that your superpowers are oftentimes things that you think everybody has until you reach a point where you're like, not everybody has this. Right? Not everybody thinks this way. And I know from the work you do with businesses that, you know, businesses, they're running a good business. They're not, you know, failing, but you come in and have a totally different perspective and can look at it from a different view. And I think that's where your superpowers are, is where you can bring a different perspective to people.
Right, right. Everyone gets, so many people get kind of in that box of how things can be done and they stay there. And
it's comfortable.
Yes, it's comfortable. They know how to do it. There's not that painful relearning period. And so they stick with it and don't look for that better way. And then as technology changes and improves, they're still kind of doing it that old way. And it's so prevalent within the business world with employees young and old. You get kind of stuck in that mindset of, you know, we've been doing the same thing the same way for 20 years. There can't possibly be a better or more efficient way of doing it. And how I like to kind of start to break that mindset is really equate it to, if you walked into the doctor's office and they said, oh, I've been practicing medicine the same way for 20 years, you would probably run the other way.
Yeah.
Because there have been so many medical advancements in the last 20 years. And I like to bring that back to business and say, you know, it, the same way the medical world has advanced, so has the business world and business technology and just, you know, the world in general. So how can we be accept that mindset anymore? And so that is kind of the first step in how I work with organizations, is picking away at that mindset of, we're fine, we've been doing the same thing the same way for 20 years, and we can continue doing that for another 20 years, because it's just, it's not really realistic that you can continue operating in that same way for 20 more years.
It's so true, and it's true both in business and personally.
Right, right.
Because
yes.
I think we all can get stuck in that, you know, it feels comfortable. And I coach a lot of people that are like, you know, things are good. I'm fine. Fine is not great. Right. And so the word fine to me is, when you're fine, it just means you're just surviving. You're
mm-hmm.
getting a paycheck, or you're going through the motions. Same with the business. You know, we're doing fine. What if you could be doing great?
Right.
And, you know, what is the difference of that? And I think it's getting uncomfortable.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And not just being in that place of comfort all the time. Now, you don't want to be uncomfortable all the time. But whether it's personal or professional, is what is that next thing that you're doing that's making you just a little bit uncomfortable? Because that's when you're growing and evolving. And if you're not doing those things, I think it's kind of a gut check to
mm-hmm.
say, am I doing those things?
Right.
And that's really the better way, right? A different way to look at it.
Yes. Yep.
What guidance do you give, or would you give to our listeners, whether they're business owners or just from a personal standpoint, in ways they can find a better way, right? Things that'll jar them loose, I guess, of that comfort.
Right. The biggest thing in the business world is thinking outside the box, like being open to making changes. And again, looking for that better way. Like you said, it's so easy to stay in that comfort zone, but I mean, really the environment and landscape of business now and talent is, I mean, the talent out there has a lot more options, and a lot of the younger people in the younger generation aren't interested in continuing to do things the old way. So in reality, if your business is not moving forward and finding that better way and that healthier work environment, you're not going to attract or retain the top talent.
It's so true, and we're talking about talent a lot in this market
yes.
right now. It's a
yes.
very important thing. the talent deficit that is here, and it's only going to get bigger in the next 5 to 10 years. And I agree, for companies and just leaders within companies, even within their teams, to realize that we've got to think about work differently.
Yes.
And what we're doing to help people find that fulfillment, right? And really
mm-hmm.
challenge in a different way. I want to talk about a minute. So when you and I were discussing, and you're, you know, being fully vulnerable and talk about limiting beliefs in your career, and, you know, I know there are a lot of people listening to this podcast that are like you and I were and still are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still today, as I think it's a journey, on those limiting beliefs of, you know, can I get that next promotion? Can I really leave corporate and do something I actually want to do? Can you talk a little bit about your journey? Because I think it's impactful for people to understand about the journey of getting over those limiting beliefs and the limiting beliefs we still have today, right? And what you still struggle with, just so that people can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I opened up my business about 2.5 years ago, and I learned more in those 2.5 years than I did in the 30-some years prior to that. Because it is just like full force in your face what your limiting beliefs are when you are out on your own. Like, it's just me.
There's no hiding.
There's no hiding. Like, there's no other employees or partners to fall back on and say, hey, you're much better at this than I am, so why don't you go for it? It's like, nope, it's me. I need to do it all on my own. So those limiting beliefs just smacked me in the face. Like, a lot of it was, even though I realized what my gift was, it was still hard for me to understand the value of that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, a lot of our gifts, they come very easily to us. So we don't think that other people necessarily need them. Like, there were so many times at the beginning of, you know, me jumping out on my own, or even me within being an employee within corporate, where there'd be meetings and something that seemed so obvious to me would pop into my head. And at the beginning, I wouldn't say it because...
You assumed, you know, everybody else?
Yeah. I'm an introvert. I don't like to speak up in group settings all the time. So I was like, well, this is a stupid comment. And, you know, people are just going to look at me and like, yeah, that's obvious. So I wouldn't say it. And then later on when I, you know, was kind of becoming, valuing my skill a bit more, I would start saying these things and seeing that light bulb pop into someone else's, like mine, was shocking in a way.
Yeah, because you're like, how could you not all see this?
Yeah, and kind of the more exposure I got to that and the more situations where I saw that, then I became to own this gift a lot more. Like, wait, I am providing value. Even though it comes easily to me, it doesn't mean that these other people know it and I need to speak up. So that was one side. And then the money side has been huge.
Hmm.
Like, that limiting belief with, one, just what money means, like wanting to have money, but money would, you know, this belief I had that money would turn me into a materialistic, just selfish person, because that's what rich people are, like,
mm-hmm.
in my mind.
Yeah.
And having to get over that to see the examples where, you know, there are rich people who are nice. And then the thought that the more money I have, the more that I can give.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of giving and receiving was a big kind of limiting belief mindset shift that I had to make.
That's an interesting one, and it's a sensitive one that people don't talk about. So I love that. It is that a lot of us have head trash about money one way or the other. And it actually, part of it impedes us from making good decisions in our careers, whether that's to take the next promotion or not,
mm-hmm.
right? To take a different position or to jump out on our own is that money piece, right or wrong, is always there. And I think awareness of it is that it's always going to be there, but it's just how you manage it and how you look at it and kind of, do you have a healthy relationship
mm-hmm.
with that? And I also think that comes from confidence, is that this is the journey I've been on the last 5 or so years, is when you're in your spot where you're like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, the money doesn't have as much impact. And I don't mean that like I'd like to be broke and doing what I'm doing, you know, like that's not what I'm saying, but you don't lead with that anymore when you're really in your gifts, because you're like, this is so much fun. I have moments where, and there's probably some of my clients listening, but where I'm in working with a client going, I can't believe they're paying me for this. Like, it's so much fun.
Yes.
Right? Like, I would do this for free. I would, but I'm not gonna. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But you would, right? When you're really in that, you're like, this is fantastic. Like, I had those moments of, like, they're going to pay me to do this. Like, this is fantastic.
Right.
And,
right.
And I think that's what we all want to get to eventually, whatever that looks like, and get over those limiting beliefs. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I know we all have them. There's not a single person listening that doesn't have a limiting belief about something. We just don't talk about them.
Yes.
Very much.
Yes.
Why do you think that is, especially in a corporate environment, I think?
Well, it is that, I don't know if it's kind of that fake it or make it mentality, but it is very much you feel that pressure of having to show that you have everything put together.
All figured out.
It's all, yeah.
I call it the duck. Like, if you look at a duck on the surface of the water, they're all, like, really calm and floating. And underneath the water, it's, like, feverishly kicking, but you can't tell at all from the above water.
Yeah.
That's how I feel most days, right? Like, I can get it together. I show up at the soccer field, or I show up at a meeting, right? I look like I got it all together. And even when you came in today, it's like, I'm hair on fire right up until the moment that I have to have it together, right?
Yes.
And so
yes.
I think it's us just being vulnerable to say, it is what it is, right? That's how we all are,
right?
In a lot of our lives,
it's allowing ourselves to be real and vulnerable, and that's actually, when you think about it, what attracts more people to you. Like,
when
the
they know
the dictators,
really,
the ones who got all their shit together and they never make a mistake. Those people aren't attracted to them that
it's
much.
It's
really.
So true. People are attracted to that authenticity when they really feel like they get you,
right?
Even if they're not like you.
Right.
Right, they get you.
And especially if you're a business owner doing business to business. I mean, I've heard so many times people, businesses even buy from people. Like, it
mm-hmm.
is so important for us to show up as a person. Like, yes, we want to definitely, you know, talk about and articulate the value that we provide. But
yep.
in the end, they're buying from us as a person.
What a great setup for one of my upcoming podcasts.
Oh, you're welcome.
Or by the time we record this, it will be live. But it's that ideas don't sell, relationships do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly that I can have the best widget or the best idea or product or service. And if I can't create relationships, or I don't have people that want to trust me and work with me, it doesn't matter how great my product or service is.
Yes.
And I think that's really true. So I want to turn to this concept that when Sarah brought this up to me, I think you said it was a book.
Yes.
That, and so we'll have to give, I haven't read the book, in full transparency. Sarah brought it, so she's giving it, she's showing it to me right now. It's this concept, and it literally kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of how it felt when I left corporate, is this concept of, are you dying for a paycheck? And it really is a phenomenon, I mean, that's happening in the corporate and in the business world right now, that people are kind of being pushed to levels that are unhealthy on multiple levels, but we're not kind of controlling it ourselves. We're not setting the right boundaries. And I was that person. A lot of people don't know this story, but I actually made the decision to leave corporate when I had to pull over twice on my way home one day from having chest pains. I thought I was having a heart attack at 35, for real. And I can still picture where I was at. And I remember having that moment. And to me, it was a higher power that had been sending me messages for a long time, like that there was a different way, a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like a smack in the face, like, you need to listen now. Like, right? You're gonna,
yes.
But it's so real for me that there are a lot of people that are dealing with this, no matter what they're doing for a living, even personally. There's some, you know, where you could parlay this into the personal life. So I want your feedback on this. And again, it's Dying for a Paycheck is the book by Jeffrey Pfeffer, Pfeffer, if you want to look it up. But I just want to know your perspective on this, having been in corporate, not just the book, but that concept.
Right. Yeah, this Dying for a Paycheck book is essentially the way that the corporate world, the business world in the U.S. and some other developing countries, but it's very strong in the U.S. is set up, is it's very unhealthy, like physically and emotionally. And a big part of the reason why it's unhealthy is, well, there are seven different pieces, but kind of the biggest part is the long work hours and the imbalance for like work and life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading a bit of this before coming in for the podcast and really looking into the long hours. And a lot of it has to do with mindset again. And the mindset within the corporate world is busy makes me really, really important. And it's that push to get that promotion and having that face time. And the more time I spend at the office means that I'm more loyal and I'm doing more work and that I'm a more valuable employee. And so there's this push where you're constantly competing with the person next to you to show, oh, I put 9 hours in today and they only put 8 hours. And then that person who's putting 8 hours is like, oh, shoot, now I have to put 9 hours and then 10 hours. And it's just this constant pushing up of the number of hours that you spend in the workplace. And it's almost an acceptable thing, too, when you're moving up the ladder within corporate. It's like, oh, well, now I'm a manager, so that means that I need to work 50 hours a week. And now I'm a senior manager, so now I have to work 60 hours a week. And it's all about the number of hours. And my challenge to business owners is that busy does not equal productive. And I have shown that throughout my career in corporate. So again, great that I spent all that time in corporate, but my MO in corporate was essentially to work myself out of a job. So I would get hired for a 40-hour per week role, and I would improve it and automate it so much that I was typically working 20 hours a week or less. And I would get some of this kind of pressure of, how could you be leaving at 3:30 instead of 4? Like, how could you not be busy? But it's because I was working smarter instead of harder. And if you would look back to at my career, even though I was working less, a lot of times I was providing more value to that organization. And so there's this misconception that the number of hours we work, the more important we are. And it's just this continual rat race of working more and more and more and more, being with your family less and less and less and less. And then with the way that technology is now and you can be available 24/7, it gets into this
there's
just
no limits.
Yeah, there's this just this messy world. You don't even have to be present in the office to be working. And it's really sad.
It's a real issue, and it's in all levels of business, you know, small businesses all the way up. And that whole busy makes me important. I've had that in corporate with my teams, and you know, bragging about, you know, I had a 60-hour work week last week, and I mean, I even catch myself thinking like, how many hours? Geez, like in certain weeks now. But you're right. That's not. We have to look at that now. I almost look at that and say, wow, what's wrong?
Right.
Like something's wrong in your business. So a business owner, you know, their people are, what's wrong in your business? Because something's broken.
Yes.
If we're having to push, meaning we're super inefficient. There is no way high performance is happening
at that
many hours a week. Science would tell you
that
people, your brains don't have capacity to do that, right? You have no clarity breaks. You're not like allowing your brain time to chill. And you're not doing good work. I just truly believe that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, there's science. I think it's after 55 hours a week, which to me still sounds like too many
hours.
But after 55, like, you're essentially doing nothing. So if you're, you know, feeling great about working 80 hours a week, it's like, you know, if you went to 55 or less, you probably would be producing higher levels of work and maybe even producing more work because you're more focused. And there's, you know, this thing too. It's like, if you're given a task and you're told you have 8 hours to do it, you're going to take 8 hours to do it. If you're told you have 2 hours, you're going to do it in 2 hours. So it's like, why don't you give yourself a shorter time period and you'll be more focused and have more clarity and, you know, just drill into that task instead of stretching it out and exhausting your brain and burning yourself out.
And I also think it's part of the root cause of, you know, some of these organizations where they hire for, and even my small business clients, they hire for pain, meaning it feels like somebody is totally overworked, so we feel like we need to hire another one of those people instead of doing what you do and coming in and saying, can we make the job they're doing more efficient so they're not overworked, and we probably actually don't have to hire for that because we're hiring for pain, not the root illness.
Right, and your pain is probably going to get even more painful when you have more people doing it. Because a lot of times what happens is the reason that your employees are so busy and stressed out is because you don't have that structure or that clarity on how the underlying process works. So now you bring someone else in and you still don't have that structure or clarity, so that other person is now doing it in a different way, most likely, than the person who was there, and now you have even more of a mess.
You just created more parts of the spider web that need to have to be unraveled at some point.
Right.
And it's, you use the word clarity, and it struck me because I just read an article, I think it was on Forbes, that the number one reason right now, you know, they rate exit interviews and why people leave companies. The number one reason as of now is lack of clarity. It has nothing to do with salary benefits, people. The reason people are leaving your businesses or leaving your teams is lack of clarity, which is our issue as leaders. That's our job, is to provide that clarity. And it's the same thing. It's I don't really know where the guardrails are for my job, and I end up getting pulled into this and that, and I'm overworked and overstressed, and I don't feel like I actually deliver anything, right? Because we're just putting out fires all day.
Yes.
And so they don't know clarity on what they should be doing and shouldn't be. And it's a human need that we all have.
Right. Yeah, being able to go into work and clearly see, here is what I need to accomplish today to be successful. Because everyone shows up to work and they want to be successful.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have kind of that measure of success, and you're just bouncing from
fires out.
Yeah, bouncing from area to area. You can't clearly see what is my to-do list, what is the status of, you know, the pieces that I am in charge of. Like, it's a mess.
Exhausting.
It's exhausting. And that's a big thing that I work with clients too, is I call it digital clutter. And there's so many processes. So one of my gifts too is being able to like see a system, like visualize the system, even though it's kind of, you know, almost imaginary, or it's in the computer or in the web, so the cloud, whatever you want to call it. And so being able to pull that all together and get rid of that digital clutter, and
helps free people's minds up.
And it's amazing. A lot of times you don't realize how much of an impact that clutter and that digital clutter is having on you until it's gone. So for instance, I was working with a mortgage company, and they had their loan officers, and just to see, so we were saying, like, you want to come in and see the status of what you need to do, like, very clearly in front of you. So just to see the status of their, so maybe they have, like, 10 loans, active loans at a time. To see the status of all 10 loans, they had to go to 6 different places. And so when I came in, it's like, okay, well, you have this one status view, and it has pretty much everything except you're missing one thing. So how about we just add that one thing into the status view? And literally this one screenshot, one place, shows you the status of all 10 of your loans.
That's life-altering
and
from a business standpoint.
Right, and it's a tiny, tiny little change that has a huge impact. Like, they're still talking about it now. The 2 days after they implemented this, you know, new status view, they had loan officers come to their office and, like, I have so much time on my hands. Like, yeah. I don't know what I was doing before.
Exactly. Like, the time just disappeared.
Yeah, your mind was going in 80 different places. And now when you can sit down and just say, okay, here's the status. I feel comfortable with where each of the loans are, or, you know, this one I have to do this with. And
it frees up your mind to do other things, which is actually what's going to grow your business, or it's going to grow your career, right? Relationships. You have time for other things that are going to fulfill you in a different way.
Right.
And I think it's hard for people, and we see this with our coaching clients, that when you're in it, like, even the you can't see the forest through the trees. And,
right.
And it's no fault of your own. You're just in it. And we all experience this, that every now and then you need somebody to say, why do you do it that way? Or why are we doing it? This doesn't make any sense. Do you know what? No, there's no good reason why. It's just what we've always done,
right?
We've created the inefficiencies in our environments, for sure.
Yes.
And sometimes we need someone else to kind of shake us a little bit to say, oh, there is a better way.
Right.
There's a different way to look at this.
Yes. And I fell victim to thinking inside the box, too. I remember one time when I was at Target and I was trying to redo a process, and I was continuing to redo it very similar to the way it was already being done, because, like, that's what I knew. And a coworker came in and said, well, why don't you do it, you know, this way, which was completely different. It's like, oh, that's so obvious.
Yeah.
And, I'm a creative problem solver, but I was so in that box that I couldn't think of those other ways. And that's the benefit of having, you know, a third party come in, is that they can pull in so many different examples from different industries that can maybe fit, you know, your process your task and think of those different ways that are really hard to do when you're in it every day.
And even personally, we have a podcast, we talked about, you know, who's in your tribe, like those five people that are around you personally or professionally that are going to be the people, they all play a little different role, but who are going to be those people that are going to say, that doesn't make sense, or, you know, that's not working, try something different kind of thing. You need those people that are going to help get you unstuck, whether it is a coach or it's just a mentor or somebody that kind of understands you. It's important to find those people. And when you are stuck, just get a different perspective. It doesn't mean you failed. It doesn't mean you aren't qualified. I think a lot of us feel like we just need to do it and we don't want to bother other people with it. But I think we get stuck.
Yes.
And I think we have to know those people we can go to help us get unstuck.
Right. Yes.
So you talk about this concept, and you said it earlier, about be better every day, right? And so this is part of, this is a journey. You know, everybody, I think everything we've talked about here, you didn't figure out in a day. I didn't figure out in a day. I'm still figuring it out.
Yes.
is this concept of be better every day, I think, is something that a lot of people need to, like, put somewhere that they see every day, because I think it just really shows them it's a journey. How have you used that? What advice would you give people on an approach for that?
Yeah, a lot of it is mindset and what I tell myself. So I realized when I was in corporate and kind of just in that dark space, like, I've always been someone who's loved my sleep. But starting out the day, I realized that without even knowing or being aware, when the alarm would go off, that my first thought was, when can I go back to sleep? And that does not set your day up very well.
Yeah, you don't want to get up and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so once I got that awareness, then I would shift that message as it was coming up. When can I, like, wait, today is going to be a good day. And really focusing on that inner...
A positive affirmation that you're starting
right
in your brain. Yep.
And that inner dialogue is huge, and it is a daily battle, I guess, but
it is. And I think it's important for people to understand that every day doesn't have to be a great day. That's not what we're saying, is you have to get up every day. Like, you can say it, but realizing that if you've got a stressful meeting, if you know you have to have a tough conversation, there can be things that actually do give us anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
I think it's important in every day to wake up and say, there will be something good today. And maybe even knowing ahead that this is going to go well.
Yes.
Right? Or I'm going to be able to do this. Whether it's personal or professional. You know, that one thing that kind of makes that day better.
Right. Yeah, you can always find something that went well. At least one thing that day that went well.
Yep.
And focusing, putting more attention on that. Being aware of what didn't go well and learning from that. But putting more attention on what did go well,
yep,
is, it completely changes your mindset and leads to just an easier, less stressful, less anxious life. And then also not beating yourself up for when you are anxious. This is something I learned too with mindset, because it's like, oh, I'm doing all this mindset, awareness, spiritual development, so I should be in this happy bubble 24/7. I should never be out of it. But that's not the reality of the world. Like, we are humans and we are going to get anxious and scared and frustrated and angry. And so it's less of a, what I put on my, like, measuring myself, I guess, it's less of a measurement of if I get into that anxious state. It's more of how long do I allow myself
to
be there and stay there and beat myself up for this perceived mistake that I made.
Yep.
Like, do, you know, previously, before I was aware, you know, had this awareness, it would be weeks or months, I'd be beating myself up for this one mistake that,
yeah, that's done.
You know, was it really,
it's already happened.
Yeah, was it really even a mistake? Like, I said something stupid in a meeting. Did anyone even, like, who even remembers it? Like,
yep,
very few people even notice. And it would, I mean, you can just feel it in your body, too.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you know, probably within hours, I'm past that.
Yeah.
And looking, you know, getting back into that lightness of my,
yeah,
body.
Yeah, it's kind
of
a, well, that didn't go well. I guess,
yeah,
I have to try something different next time. You,
yeah,
know, it's just changing, like you said, what you're saying to yourself after the fact.
Yes.
Is so important. Well, Sarah, this has been, we could talk all day. not that everybody would want to listen all day, but I just appreciate your perspective. I appreciate your vulnerability and sharing your story, because I know there's a lot of people that relate but maybe wouldn't feel comfortable talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That corporate transition and how you feel and the limiting beliefs, and we all have them. And so I appreciate you coming on and sharing that, because I know it's going to resonate with our listeners. And for those of you listening, you know, this is just, you know, a continuation of the purpose of this podcast. And this is a perfect example of, you know, we're going to bring on real people with real successes and real failures and real experience that are, have maybe a step ahead of you, that have, you know, gotten through a roadblock that you're dealing with right now. And just those things to get you unstuck and kind of free and moving again, knowing you're going to get stuck again. It's not the avoidance of being stuck or getting in those areas of anxiety. It's how quickly you get out of them,
mm-hmm.
right? And what are those things that help you? And that's the purpose of this podcast, is hopefully some of these topics really hit you when you need them. Some might not, and that's perfectly fine too, is because you just didn't need that message at that time. But I think this is a really important one for many of us today, is there is a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
We're the only ones who are going to figure it out. No one else is going to figure out the better way for us. And so knowing your superpowers and knowing what those strengths are, they're going to lead you to the better way if you can really value them and find them.
Yes.
So thank you for being here. If people want more information on you, and we'll put it in our podcast notes as well, how can they get a hold of you to help?
Yes, they can go to my website, clearsimplebusiness.com, or also send me an email. Address is Sarah with an H. at clearsimplebusiness.com.
Okay, and we'll make sure, for those of you who are driving, running, doing whatever you do when you listen to podcasts, we'll make sure we've got that information in the podcast notes. Superpower Success Community, I'm just continuing to be grateful for you engaging and being part of this community and showing up because you want to get better, right? You want to be better every day, and that's what we're here to do for you. So make sure you're using those superpowers, and make sure you're subscribing and leaving us reviews, because we'd love to know how these topics are resonating with you and how they're helping move you forward. Thanks, everyone.